Ah, yes, indeedy. Good afternoon, boys and girls. Yes, part two of the Area Fishing Report is coming up. Actually, it's here. It's not even coming up. We're like,
yeah,
really
it's immediate.
And I'm almost live, and Robert is live. That's such
a, well, almost live.
I was going to say, as live as Robert actually gets. All right. Let's see, I've eased back in the chair. I've made myself more reasonably comfortable. And I guess, no, shut up, guitar. Okay, now, here we go. I believe, let me see where we're at. We just did the Mayak River systems. So part two starts on the passes. We got passes coming in and out of Charlotte Harbor is Ponarasa at the south end, then Redfish, then Captiva, Boca Grande Pass, Little Gasparilla Pass, Stump Pass, all the way up to the Venice Jetties, which I could say doesn't really feed into us, but we're going to feed off of them. So anyway, where are you going to start, Robert?
They're actually almost all of them are identical with the exception of Venice.
Okay, what's going on in Venice then?
It's been quiet up there. I mean, a couple of guys have come in and complained about how slow it's actually been. You know, they're catching a few oddball snapper and an oddball Spanish mackerel, but there's no snook up there. There hasn't been any redfish up there. And, I mean, no real shark or tarpon to speak of. It's been relatively quiet this past week. So we can kind of just say, it's mediocre at best.
Okay.
It could light up at any given day, but As of the three different reports I've gotten this past week, quiet.
All right, so we've done that. It's quiet.
Very quiet.
Okay.
Crickets.
All right, yeah, crickets. I could do that. I actually have
a cricket
thing,
noise.
But I don't really remember where it is.
Some file number 427.
Yeah, that's kind of the problem. I think I've got to really just kind of, you know... Oh, wait a minute. No, that's not it. All right. I know all
that's
that
in there.
All that stuff is here. I mean, there's probably a way I could figure out how to describe Venice, but I think it's probably more like this. Okay. Really? That was it?
That was kind of a...
That was it. Once. Not even more than that.
The sleep apnea. They're holding their breath now and their heart's stopping.
That's what it is. Yeah, okay. So anyway, yeah. All right, we do have toys. All right, let's... enough with the toys, for God's sakes. Get to the fishing. The most we've talked about fishing so far is it's slow.
All right. Yeah, right.
Now, all of the other passes are kind of the same. So what's happening in all these other passes?
Boca Grande, Captiva, Redfish. I mean... tarpon, shark, been some cobia, some king mackerel, and then like bottom fish, the guys are catching some really nice mangrove snapper, a few incidental sheep's head that are still leaving throughout the whole vicinity. What else have I heard about? A few oddball flounder, a few oddball pompano.
I've been hearing a lot about gag grouper in the past. A
lot of gag grouper, but especially Captiva Pass. Captiva Pass, I've heard the bigger better reports of bigger grouper. You know, the Boca Grande, there's been some bigger grouper, but it seems like Captiva always seems to be a little bit more productive for that. And I don't know why, because the bottoms are virtually close to the same.
I have no idea. I mean, they're so similar, but it could be...
because it's narrower, maybe, and a little more thumpy?
Well, I'm thinking maybe because of the big sandbar on the outside. The water can't just flush out. The way Boca Grande is headed, where we're going to have that big sandbar coming out and, you know, kind
right.
of choked off a little bit, that will probably make it hold, because once the water starts changing there, you're already seeing it with the huge amount of sand down on the south side where it's really, really shallow, all that. And it may even bring back the islands, not that they're not dredging anymore. Because there used to be, right outside of Cayo Costa, three or four little islands out there you used to go out and picnic on. And then the islands eroded out, and a bay that used to be there turned into a lake.
Right. I remember that. I never remember the little islands.
Yeah, the little islands were out there.
In front of that lake area?
Yeah, right in front of that lake area. That's why all that's real shallow out there.
Right.
Just kind of the islands eroded down into just kind of sand. But then the what used to be an inlet, like a bay right there on the inside of Cayo Costa, that sand kind of washed up in there and just went together and made a lake out of it, saltwater lake. That lake was never there. We used to drive our boats in now there all the time.
Right, I remember that.
So it's always weird how everything changes. And the only reason Boca Grande Pass stayed always the same, always, always, always for almost 100 years, they dredged it every 4 years.
Right.
So look it up, folks. I'm not making this stuff up. Yes, and if you're part of the weirdo group, they did dredge the shipping part of it, which kept the other part of it the same, because that's the part right outside of the pass where it changed. It used to be 11, I'm figuring average 12 feet deep out there.
Right.
That's why they started dredging it. They needed it, almost 40 feet for
the oil shipping. Barges.
Yeah, they needed the shipping, and that has to be maintained a certain depth.
First it was a phosphate, and then it became where they brought in the
oil. Cattle and oil and phosphate, and just a huge array of things were shipped out there, phosphate being the most notable one. But there's cattle out there, and there was pretty much everything, because the trains would come down, and that was a direct hub from Arcadia, which had processing plants, everything from cat food and fruits and everything else. I mean, Arcadia was a mecca of southern Florida at one time, because the railroad debt headed out there.
Right.
And when the railroad came in, then they could go to Fort Myers or the other way or the other way. But Fort Myers was a hub and had factories and all kinds of stuff.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, well, the Depression kind of stopped most of that stuff.
Yeah. So.
But now back to the fishing. We had talked about Venice being kind of quiet, but the other passes, Boca, Captiva, all that, tarpon, sharks, cobia, snapper, sheephead, guy grouper, near legal size on the bottom, but they are out of season. Anything else going on?
Snook are starting to move out there. You know, we've been talking about them starting to show up on the beaches, but the passes is really where they first congregate real good. Once that water temperature gets up another 2 or 3 degrees, you'll see a whole lot more fish dumping out onto the beach side, but they always seem to stack up in all the passes first. So that's been pretty impressive.
Yep. All right. Jumping from there, let's jump up to the Peace River. You got Harbor Heights, Sansucci Trestle, Chester A. Robert Park, by the way, is on the
what
Peace
is it?
River. It's the one, right, if you're going to Point of Gorda, if you turn down that road right next to it, before the bridge, there's a little park right there. It's about four lots in. It's right there on the mouth of the river, right by the 41 bridge. Little park right there. It's literally a house lot that was bought and made into a park.
I don't know where that's at.
I'll show you. I can't remember the name of that road that goes from 41 all the way around back to Harborview. You know which one I'm talking about?
Oh, okay. Okay. I know what you're talking about. I don't know the name of the road either.
Yeah, I can't remember. But when you go there past that gas station where they got all everything tore up where the hotel used to be, and you go down, it's right on the right-hand side there. It's quarter block in. It's right there.
It's, what the heck's the name of that road?
Oh, God.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Who cares? Yeah. All right, what's going on in the Peace River, I-75, and all these other places?
There's some juvenile tarpon and some adult tarpon all the way up to the trestle. Jeff was up there the other day and saw a handful of them and even had one swirl on one of his plugs. And then hearing of a few oddball snook and some oddball redfish, but nothing super consistent. I think there's just so much activity going in the southern end of the harbor. A lot of guys are running right past most of that stuff and running down there. You know, I'm sure it's probably better. I mean, the salinity's come up quite a bit. The color has changed quite a bit. So, and that big school of black drum that was swimming around in the harbor,
yeah.
I know that those fish moved up to the 75 bridge and just north of it, kind of between the bridge and the power lines. It's like there's two, they seem to break apart. They're anywhere from 200 to 500 fish in that 30 to 50 pound range.
Really?
Yeah. The weird part is that's that same school that always comes in through Little Gasparilla Pass every spring and bounces around throughout the center of the harbor for a couple weeks, and then they just flat out disappear and nobody really knows where they go. You know, I'm thinking maybe that a good chunk of them go up the river for a little bit and then start to spread out, because they just disappear out of nowhere around that 20-foot hole, and we always assume that they go into like the PGI and Port Charlotte canals at that point, but This is the second time I've heard of them up there just above the I-75 bridge. So
now, it would make sense because there's a lot of crabs
right
on the river right now. A lot of small crabs, a lot of different food that the drum would really enjoy. I mean, there's always going to be a certain amount of shrimp up there, but this time of year, everybody's looking for the tiny baby blue crabs and all that.
Right.
And that would make a lot of sense, them being up I-75.
The other thing that gets me puzzled is that Loch Ness Monster that you always see every year up there.
Yeah.
Could that be a school of them, or do you think that's just one solitary Jewfish cruising around up there?
No, there were the one fish I have seen, it is a fish.
Okay.
Single largest Goliath grouper Jewfish I have ever personally seen in person or in pictures.
Okay.
I've never seen anything that big. Right. It's well over 600 pounds.
Okay. I was just curious because...
But I've seen schools of fish up there, kind of unidentifiable, big pushes in the water and stuff. And we'll have to go up, check around the bridge for some of those. But there's an island off to the side where the flat part goes on to it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a bay there. And I see more fish hitting in that bay. And I've never been able to successfully catch anything there. But driving across the I-75 bridge, you know, going from the south, going north on it, from Punta Gorda to Port Charlotte, I look over and I see that bay. And I've seen more fish boil up and hit and stuff in that little cove than anywhere else. And I still can't catch a fish there. I wonder if that's school of drum that goes up in there, and then by the time I get there, they're just gone.
Right. That could be. That makes perfect sense.
It's my lie. I'm going to stick to it as we started on part one.
Right.
All right. Pine Island Sound.
Pine Island Sound. It's peppered with tarpon all over on the inside, up and down, literally from Boca Grande Pass all the way down Pat to Sanibel Causeway, essentially. I mean, there's just singles, deuces, and like pods, and that's what's kind of making this fishery right now pretty nice. For the tarpon wise, you don't have as many jerks yet. There's still always a handful, but there's so many fish scattered all over the place that it's kind of breaking up the groups of people too, so it's making it a little more interesting. And then also in some of those deeper sand holes along that whole ICW, there's been trout of decent size, just not quantity by any stretch. A lot of little sharks around, a few Spanish and bluefish mixed in with those same trout areas. And then obviously the snook and a few redfish up along the bushes and some of those real deep mangrove cut shorelines.
Okay.
Well, that's what makes it super interesting. I like it down there. At first, ever since you took me down there that one time, I mean, we've been down there a few times since, but that very first time seeing those deep cuts underneath those mangroves, to see, you know, here you are in 2 feet of water and there's 6 feet of water under a mangrove.
Or shoreline or whatever.
Yeah, it's just amazing, ridiculous stuff.
And the water's so clear.
Yeah.
When you're there at this time of year, after the rains have stopped and before the rains start, and you have that gin clear water and all that beautiful grass and everything else, and then all of a sudden you just come up on this pocket of deep water. It's just amazing.
It's overwhelming.
And you look on the bottom and there's like a dozen snook laying there and a couple other fish, and it's like looking at them at SeaWorld or something.
Yeah.
They're right there.
That's so cool.
Okay, moving on. Placida Pier, Trestle, South Pier, wherever, but that area.
The pier itself, I'm not sure if South Pier is still closed up. I have to take a drive out there and check it out this weekend. I know they were doing some kind of construction crap on it. But as far as the Placida Trestle itself and even the railroad trestle around it, a lot of good snook at night. And that's about it that I'm hearing about at night. During the daytime, though, they're still getting a fair number of nice mangs, some Spanish, a few small sharks, and an oddball trout. Haven't heard of any sheep's head because I know it's getting warm out and most of them have kind of ventured away, but you always hear of that oddball day where somebody catches a banner bunch of them and then nothing again.
Yeah, but they're just kind of moving around at that point. I mean,
right,
just because it's not season or the cooler weather for them, it really doesn't matter because
We always have our year-round residents of fish.
Fish have to live somewhere. It's not like they disappear and then just come back at that one point. So it makes perfect sense. At least my lie, I'm going to stick to it. Lion Frank. Okay. Anyway, back up here. Another political reference.
Right.
Going through this whole thing.
You're having a good time with this.
Oh, laughing my butt off. It's hysterical.
Yeah.
So anyway, getting back to... let's see, where am I now? Oh, Ponce de Leon, PGI Canals, the Punta Gorda area as a whole.
Ponce, I haven't heard a whole lot about except for some small mangrove snapper and an occasional black drum. But the PGI Canals as a whole, man, it's lighting up big time with juvenile tarpon, black drum, snook scattered all over the place. Even hearing of some big sand bream that people are catching by accident while they're fishing for the mangrove snapper. So it's been pretty cool. I mean, a lot of people coming in asking questions about how to fish the docks, you know, the dock lights behind their house, because they're seeing so many different fish underneath the lights. Not just the snook, you know, that's the cool part.
Yeah, and for those of you unfamiliar with what goes on here is... we have had an influx of tilapia over the last few years. So if you're looking at your light and you
night
and you see what looks like a triple tail hanging out at the light, 8 chances out of 10 it's a tilapia or some kind of cichlid.
Yeah, tilapia or a Mayan cichlid.
These freshwater fish, could you leave that open, Terry? Has been... they don't seem to care about that much salt.
No.
Now, I think in a little while, there's going to get to be so much salt, they're going to go way to the back ends of the canals and try and get back up river. But, right. That, you know, it's going to have to not rain for a long time. Going over across the bay to Port Charlotte, got Port Charlotte Beach Pier, East Spring Lake, the ramp, Lister, Sunrise. I mean, there's so many places on this side of the river to fish.
Yeah,
What's going on?
The canal systems themselves are starting to get a lot of snook moving out of them, and a few mangrove snapper, but you've got Spring Lake and Edgewater Lake have got a lot of juvenile tarpon in them. And then the beach complex itself, depending on the bait, you know, it's kind of like the 41 bridge that we were talking about earlier. If the bait moves into that bay a little bit,
right,
and most of it's thready, so don't get excited, white bait mongers. The cobia have been moving in along with the snook getting super excited that are moving out of those canals. So the guys are catching some nice snook and some nice cobia and a few oddball sharks right off the pier and walking that little beach right there between the pier and the boat ramp.
Yeah.
And that seems to be the correlation is that bait. If you're seeing some bait around, it seems to be bringing those fish in, because one guy's saying, oh, I had somebody tell me they caught like so many fish off there the other day, and I went there today and didn't catch a darn thing. And it's like, what'd you see? Nothing. Okay. The other guys were seeing all sorts of bait, so I think that's getting them fired up and having them follow in, especially the cobia.
Well, let's all go way down south here. We're going to head all way down south out of the harbor there.
Sanibel?
Yeah, going on to Sanibel.
Sanibel.
Sanibel, yes, indeed.
Sanibel. Okay.
Isn't it Sanibel?
Mm-hmm.
Sanibel.
Sanibel. I like it.
Okay. Or you got Punta like Rasa.
Yeah. Let's see. Tarpon all over the Sanibel Bridge. You know, they're underneath the bridge. daytime and nighttime, it's just been really, really good numbers of tarpon around it. There has been a few Jewfish, Goliath grouper, some mangrove snapper, Spanish, mixed variety of stuff around the causeway itself. Over by the Ponderosa side and along all those docks there, the snook are starting to move in. So it's pushing out some of the mangrove snapper, but the handful of mangrove snapper that have been underneath those docks are all really nice quality fish, like 12 and 14 inch fish I've heard about, which is pretty darn nice for an inshore mangrove.
Really nice for an inshore mangrove.
Yeah. I mean, you have a hard time pushing that out here in the Gulf.
Exactly.
So, good stuff.
Let's take a minute and We were going to stroll casually along the beaches, minding, you know, enjoying the sights, the salty sea air, and heck, we're going to go fishing. What are we going to fish for right along the beaches? Let's start like from Venice and just go south along. Is there a big variant between what's going to be happening north of us or south of us?
No, they're all about the same right now, but definitely as you get closer to the passes, it seems to light up a little bit better. As you get within, you know, that eighth or quarter of a mile of the passes, that seems to be the funnel points for just about all the fish right now. There's snook starting to move out there. They're not in huge numbers, but good enough where you can actually target them right now. Hearing of some jacks moving in and out, flounder on occasion. And then there's also been the small sharks, a few tarpon cruising up and down the beach. Trying to think what else, because there's been so many different people coming in from so many different spots telling us what they've caught that it gets to be a little confusing sometimes. Been some oddball pompano and juvenile permit. You know, judging by some of these guys' pictures, it's hard to tell because some pictures just aren't taken very well to totally identify a fish, but I'd be willing to guess by the size and stuff that they're little juvenile permit in that 5 to 7 pound range. This is the time of year where we should start hearing about some of those baby bonefish that are being caught out there too, you know, because Inglewood and Stump Pass area, you always seem to hear about them pretty regularly. You know, guys catch them by accident. They think it's a whiting and go, wow, this is the weirdest whiting ever. And then they go, oh, wait a minute.
It's a bonefish.
Exactly.
Yes. I found where I got lazy and didn't finish moving the stuff over, because on the fishing report page, we have the main place-by-place fishing report. But I'm also trying to put a log together to go on another page. I have another page, and I copy and paste all that stuff over. And I'm still seeing all of March here on the bottom of this. So nice. I didn't get it, but I will do that this week. All right. Muddy Bay, Oyster Creek, the West Wall, Blowdown Creek. What's going on the west side of the harbor?
Snook are moving all up and down that whole wall. I mean, good numbers of fish over there as far as snook go. A few incidental redfish. There has been some cobia, pompano, and a few oddball trout kind of on the flat there on the harbor side. And then there's been a few bigger sharks kind of cruising along through there. So it's just about everywhere. It's fairly good over there right now. It's just a matter of just finding that each little group of fish because they're moving around so much. You know, that's always the fun part. It's definitely a hunting game right now.
It helps so much if I could actually type trout. Getting the fish all done up for on the bar. Now, one of the things we added was kind of a white bait report. Let's start with thread fins.
There's plenty of those. There's no white bait around, so just stick with thread fins because there is no white bait.
No, there's white bait out there, but the problem is everybody's in a hurry, and if you go on some of the markers and the whole upper part is all the thread fins and stuff, and there is white bait there at a bunch of the different markers and on both sides of the harbor, but they're mixing in with the thread fins and they're more wary. So you'll start chumming and the thread fins will show up first and you'll say, darn, it's a school of all thread fins. But if you get past the thread fins, there are some white bait, whether it's a marker or back on the flats. But thread fins on the markers and larger ones in the middle of the harbor.
Yep. There's a quite a few big threadies throughout the middle of the harbor, which is nice because last year they almost didn't show up.
And I got to tell you, I've sold more half-inch and 5/8-inch nets here in the last week than I think I did all last year.
Right.
This week and the week before, I mean, sold a lot of nets with big mesh in them, because if you're out there in 10, 12, 14 feet of water or more and you get a school of thread fins, that quarter inch is not doing you any good.
No.
The 3/8 is a maybe at best.
Maybe.
Half inch or 5/8, you've got a pretty fair shot of being able to throw a couple times, get a dozen or two pieces of bait, and go fishing. But just keep in mind, they are thread fins. They will not live to the next day. And Take a dozen, 18 of them, and let the rest of them go. If you put 50 of them in your live well, you're gonna, by the time you use the first six or eight, the rest of them are dead. And every two you kill is 500 that are not there the next year.
At least.
And I don't want to hear you complaining that, well, there's no bait here. And where's the bait? Where's the bait? If you're killing 40, 50 bait fish for no reason other than you're lazy.
Yep.
So get a dozen, 12, 18 pieces of bait. Do your tarpon fishing, whatever you need to do, and if you run out, go get more.
Right.
No lazy excuses. This is one thing that's not acceptable anymore. The thread fins are also out along the beaches, I think.
Yep. Yes, they are. From literally like 20 feet off the beach to 3-4 miles out from what I'm hearing. You know, there's schools of bait all the way out to like 20 miles out, but they're kind of unidentifiable at that depth.
Not hearing about glass minnows this year.
They were pretty heavy about a month ago, but I haven't heard of them in good numbers right now, no.
Because the glass minnows are what a vast... I mean, we all think about the thread fins and the white bait because we use them. Mm-hmm. But glass minnows are such an important part of the food chain.
Oh, a huge part.
Huge. I mean...
I think they're probably more responsible for maintaining the life in this harbor than...
Than anything.
Than anything else.
Than the shrimp and the glass minnows are probably the two... number one baits, you know, for as far as food foraging baits.
Yeah.
Not baits for as far as using them, but fish to actually that other fish eat.
Yeah.
And I'm just not hearing about the glass minnows.
No.
That's got me a little worried. I'm wondering what the heck happened with the glass minnows. I didn't hear about the ones a month ago, so I feel better about that.
Yeah. The only thing that would make sense is maybe because of this rainy season we had, because they are not exactly the strongest swimmers.
No.
You know, and they are not freshwater tolerant. You know, even though they call them bay anchovies, they require a little bit higher salinity, so yeah. They might have gotten pushed down further south or even just staying right offshore.
Do we have anything to put in the freshwater column?
Bass have been super funky. I mean, the guys have been doing well on them, but it's been feast or famine. You hear 2 or 3 days of good reports, and then you hear 3 or 4 days of bad reports from the same guys. And they're pretty good bass fishermen.
Yeah. Are the paddle tails working good? Swim baits, jerk baits, worms?
The frog bite's been decent, so the frogs have been doing well, but the guys have been kind of jumping all over board. We've actually sold a couple spinner baits this week, and then a couple guys have bought the shallow swimming, what's that? The Rapala, the shallow...
The shallow shad wraps.
Yeah, the real shallow shad wraps. We've had several guys buy those this week.
Okay. Have you heard anything about panfish, bluegills, shell crackers, sunfish?
No, I have not.
There was a huge amount of catfish being caught a while back. I mean... blue cats, blue cats and what are
bullheads.
Bullheads and
yellow bullheads.
Yeah, there were so many big catfish. It was an amazing year on the catfish bite. What's up, Larry?
Hey, what's going on?
Not much. What do you want? What you need?
I just see Barb for a second.
I don't know if she's back there, but open the door. Terry's back there. All right. Yes, it's a very professional show here.
Very.
Yes. Hey, what's going on? Yeah, I don't know. All right. Anyway, what else kind of in general is going on out there, Robert? Anything?
I think it's everything's going on. I mean, you've always said it best, you know, be a Boy Scout and be ready for everything right now. If you're going out today and you kind of have redfish in mind, you should bring a tarpon pole with you because you may come across a whole bunch of tarpon that are all excited and be able to do that and vice versa. You know, it's been... unbelievable out there. Whether you're on the beach, whether you're fishing from a boat or a pier, every day it's changing, but it seems to be changing better and better. Like I always have said, kind of the balloon is filled up, and it's literally filled up to the point where it's going to pop any day now because it's that many different species. It's by far my favorite time of the year.
As I said before, it's the most wonderful time of the year.
Yes, it is.
With the snook going crazy and the tarpon are biting and sharks that are eating.
It's one of those double-edged swords because I love it.
Did you bring that up and I sing?
No.
Is that where that's where the sword falls in? Okay, no. You say that. Frank goes on a rant and it's like the whole thing falls apart.
It's like you said earlier, you know, it's like we're so blessed that we're busy because our customers take care of us, the locals and the visitors, you know.
This
just
is the
so
crazy
busy
time of year, because
but it sucks in the aspect that neither you and I get to go out there and really truly enjoy the fishing. We got to live vicariously through everybody else.
It's kind of weird because snowbird season is how I pay my bills, you know. That's where we get the money to pay the you know, the extra money to buy the new products and get the all the bills caught up and do all that. But if I'm going to get a paycheck this year, it depends on May and June.
Right.
That's the months where if we're going to do anything, those are the two big months, because the snowbirds come back for the big fish. The tourists are here for the big fish. People come down and see grandma and grandpa, you know, and they want to catch the big fish. It's all about the big fish, because you got snook and tarpon and sharks and cobia. And like we said, on and on and on. And all the locals are out because now it's not cold. It's not hot.
Yeah.
The weather's perfect, so you got a gazillion locals fishing. You got tourists coming from all over everywhere. It is an amazing time to be in Florida. It's literally the poster child months, May and June.
Absolutely. That's the most frustrating month for me, because it's literally those are the only fish that I really, truly love to catch.
Right.
I enjoy the other ones, but when the tarpon and shark are here, I mean, I have a hard time sleeping because my adrenaline's going, because there's times where I want to go fishing, but we're busy in here and I know I can't go, and I don't own a boat, so I have to rely on you and some of these captains, and they're all busy. So it's
I'm going to probably replace that one that Andrew's going to be using. We refit the bus so Andrew can go out and use his charter boat, and it's crazy looking now. I mean, I actually really like it. And because when we were building it, I said, no, it doesn't look ridiculous enough. More cup holders, more rod holders.
Right.
And it's so silly looking, but it's so
practical.
Cool to fish out of it. Practical. I mean, when you come up to do snook or redfish and you stop the back of the boat, bring the front of the boat around and put your stick it on the front. And then you've got, you know, 24 feet of side of the boat to fish off, and there's a place for everybody to sit. And right in front of you is a rod holder. So if you got to put your rod down, you put it right in the holder. And then there's a cup holder and like a sandwich holder right there. I mean, if you got something where you want to put your phone down, you can put it right in the holder. It's just too cool. And it's got dry storage for the clothes and a nice ice chest for food and drinks. And then it's got another one for fish and live wells and. It's really nice. If it didn't vibrate when it was going across the harbor, it would be one of my favorite boats. But,
right.
You know, if you're out there for one day on a charter, it's not going to bother you to have a little bubble going on. But it doesn't bang or bounce, and
right.
It's pretty dry.
Nice.
Yeah, it's not my boat, but it's pretty dang cool.
Yeah.
It's got more cup holders.
Your boat's hard to beat.
But it's got more cup holders than my boat does.
Your boat's still hard to beat.
No, that's why I've had the exact same boat all these years. That's why I bought the second one, and I have two exactly the same, and that's all I'll ever fish out of.
Yeah.
But, you know, there you go. You know, you find something you like, got to stick with it.
Absolutely.
So, anyway, getting back to the wide world of fishing sports and dramatic things going on, a lot of stories about free jumping tarpon. And what's your take on a free jump tarpon?
It's a happy feeding fish.
Is not showing off or escaping a predator or something?
No, because when they're launching straight in the air the way a mullet does, they're actually, I think, feeding. Because
so
most of the time when you see a couple, you know, if you see one, I still think it's a feeding fish, but usually if you see two in that area and you go over to that area, your hookups are so much better than going into an area where you're just seeing rolling fish. At least that's how it's worked for me in the past. You know, so I really genuinely think it's truly happy feeding fish.
Well, you don't have to get so quiet about it. You're welcome to stay the same
if
volume.
If I
really think this is what I want, but I'm not really sure.
If they're greyhounding, then they're running from something. That's usually my take on it.
Okay. That's the one thing I miss. I have not been able to do enough grouper fishing over the last few years. And I used to love being in the Gulf in April to watch the tarpon come greyhounding past us, coming in from Louisiana or Texas or Mexico. And you'd be out there grouper fishing, and then you just, all of a sudden in the distance, you see this. And then the next thing you know, here's 100 tarpon all going by, you know, like dolphins porpoising, just boom, boom, coming out of the water, going in, coming out, go in.
And they're on a mission. That's the crazy part, because it's not like rolling tarpon in the harbor where they're kind of all around you and kind of staying and just slowly fading away. These fish, you're watching them come at a distance, and you're watching them go into the distance.
Like they got a compass.
Yeah.
It's the craziest thing I ever saw. And that's what awesome. I missed this year, because I really wanted to get out, and I think it's too late already, is the West Wall lineup of the tarpon.
Yeah.
Where you have, I mean, literally from Cape Hayes, sometimes all the way up to the Myakka River, there'll be a tarpon every 10 inches to a foot. You might have a 8-foot span in between a school of one or the other, but not very much.
No.
And I mean, literally, they're just laying their tails towards the bar, their heads out towards the harbor, and it's just fish after fish after fish, like cordwood stacked up. And I guess it may be a pecking order, or it could be like what do they call that when you go to a wedding or a funeral? The reception line.
Oh.
The reception line.
Thought it was a procession.
No, the procession is the people walking and stuff, but the reception line is when, you know, you got one and then you go by, and maybe that's them seeing who's there. And once everybody's there, you know, okay, you know, Uncle Joe's here, crazy Aunt Gertrude's here, and,
everyone,
you know.
Turn your head, there's the weird uncle.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, my brother-in-law, never mind, he's over there, and, you know, I mean, it's just... It could be as simple as that. But, I mean, it sounds weird for a fish to do that, but I've never had a good explanation for seeing those tarpon line up, and it only lasts a day or two.
Yeah.
And but it's like they come in from the past. Maybe it's the cool down. Maybe they're just all relaxing.
Maybe. I've heard about it, but I've never personally got to witness it.
Oh, it's absolutely... the school of black drum that come into the harbor to spawn and do whatever they're going to do, and there's a few other things out there, but just, and if you're either there or you're not, it's not like something you can go do. You show up and, oh, it's there, and oh my God, I got to see it. But it's not like you can say, okay, I'm going to come to Florida and I want to go see this.
Right.
It doesn't work that way.
No.
You're either there or you're not, and there's no way to tell when it's going to happen except time on the water. And back then I was on the water literally every day.
Right. If you were on the water 5 to 7 days a week.
Yeah, and for 10 to 15, adding up the hours I have on my boat, if you put the hours into days and the days into weeks, the weeks into months and the months into years, I've got over three, I think it was three years and a few months and a couple of weeks of time standing on the deck, adding all the hours up together of that one boat.
It's crazy.
So that's how you get to see stuff, though.
No, absolutely.
You're on the water to see it. You know, it's like if you're looking up, you see the shooting star. That was cool.
Right.
And obviously, kind of like shooting stars, when the Earth comes around, passes through this, you know, dust belt or whatever it is it does every once in a while, you get to see a lot more shooting stars.
Second week of August.
But during the rest of the time, you see one here and there. And that's kind of like being here at a certain time of year, and then being out there every night to see the really cool meteorite hit, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know how else to explain it, but I feel I'm being boring talking about that. It's making me ill. Okay,
that was just getting too close to the microphone.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Anything else we need to go over? I really don't.
No, I think we've kind of hit it all.
Yeah, and that's sad. I feel bad about that.
Nah.
So, I wish there was more to say. Let's see what Bobby has to say.
Up this morning before the sun.
I miss Bobby. I've never seen her anymore.
No, I don't know.
Fishing done. Jump in my pickup. Give her a crank. I got to talk with Fishing Frank. Fishing Frank is the guy who knows where the redfish and the tarpon go. From your boat or from the bank. The man to see is Fishing Frank, 'cause he's got the tackle and the know-how too, and more than willing to share with you. The guys with the most fish in their tanks, I've surely been to Fishin' Frank's. You gotta go to Fishin' Frank's. The one who knows is Fishin' Frank.
Oh, gee whiz. All right, and I guess that's about wrapping it up for this segment of Radio Fishing. This is Fishing Frank in the chair. That's Robert in the chair across from me. And it's just been one just ragtag excitement of a show. How are you still watching CNN and Fox News Network if you could be listening to Radio Fishing? I just can't believe it. My jaw all swollen up and all that, you know, from the infections and all that. And sitting there and getting hooked on that for, you know, a day doing that. I was just laughing at myself like crazy.
That's funny.
Anyway, but by all reports, this is it, boys and girls. The fishing's on. It's on like Donkey Kong. When people come in and forget to show me pictures of 40-inch cobia because they've caught this and caught that and caught the next thing, it's great. Say goodbye, Robert.
Goodbye, Robert.
Night, boys and girls. We'll see you in the next Radio Fishing.